Live from NPR News, I'm Korva Coleman. Researchers from Johns Hopkins University say nearly 130,000 people have died in the U.S. of COVID-19. Nearly 2.9 million coronavirus cases have been diagnosed. In India, daily coronavirus cases are breaking records almost every day. On Sunday, the country counted nearly 25,000 new cases. Sushmita Pathak has more from Mumbai.
India has surpassed Russia to become the country with the third highest caseload, nearly 700,000 infections. Only the United States and Brazil have more cases. The Taj Mahal and other monuments were scheduled to reopen today, but the Indian government now says they'll remain closed. Sunday saw India's highest daily spike in coronavirus cases so far. A nationwide lockdown was lifted about a month ago, allowing shops, offices, and places of worship to reopen. But as infections spread, some Indian states and cities have gone back into lockdown. Since the pandemic began, almost 20,000 people have died in India after testing positive for COVID-19. For NPR News, I'm Sushmita Pathak in Mumbai.
President Trump delivered two holiday speeches on Friday and Saturday. One was at Mount Rushmore. The second was in Washington, D.C. Trump insisted that the 4th of July was for celebrating our history and heritage. NPR's Aisha Roscoe says Trump accused people of threatening that heritage.
He talked about defeating not an external enemy, but the radical left, the anarchists, the agitators, the looters. It was about leaning into cultural divides.
NPR's Aisha Roscoe reporting. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, released a response. He said the United States is suffering as a result of having a divisive president who, quote, doesn't give a damn about anything but his own gain, end quote. Democrats believe they have a chance to take control of the Senate from Republicans this election year. NPR's Susan Davis reports the pandemic, protests, and President Trump's sinking approval ratings are giving them new opportunities.
Democrats likely need to net at least four seats to have a shot at the majority. That's because Alabama Democratic Senator Doug Jones is facing an uphill battle to win re-election in a state where President Trump remains highly popular. But in key races in more competitive states, Arizona, Colorado, and Maine, Democrats are all running competitively or ahead in Republican-held seats. The battleground is also expanding into places Republicans weren't expecting to defend: Montana, Georgia, Iowa, and Kansas. A 50-50 tied Senate is possible, which makes the presidential race important for one more reason. In that event, the vice president breaks the tie to determine control of the Senate. Susan Davis, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News. The U.S. Army has identified a set of remains as those of missing soldier Vanessa Guillen. She had been missing from Fort Hood, Texas, since April. Her family believes Guillen's death was linked to sexual harassment that she experienced on the Army base. Family members said Guillen did not report it because she feared she would not be believed. Two Americans have been charged by Canadian authorities for breaking Canada's COVID-19 quarantine rules. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the two were apparently spotted numerous times in a northern Ontario town.
Police in the Rainy River District, which runs along the U.S.-Canada border near Minnesota, say the couple, a 66-year-old man and a 65-year-old woman, entered Canada more than 10 days ago. They were told by border officials to drive directly to their Canadian destination and isolate for 14 days. But police say both failed to comply and were seen making stops in the town of Fort Frances. Each has been fined $1,000. The Canada-U.S. border has been closed for more than 3 months to all non-essential travel. There is an exemption that allows Americans to travel through Canada to reach Alaska, but officials are concerned that some Americans are using this as a loophole to get into Canada and stay there. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The British government is going to spend nearly $2 billion to support the United Kingdom's arts sectors. Money will be awarded to museums and famed theaters, such as the Old Vic. The pandemic has shut down more than 1,000 theaters across the UK. Some critics worry that the British government cannot afford the spending, along with its payments to people out of work. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.